Admit that we were in that category of old age. All the rest of the song applies to us. About wasting our time and so on.
How long you can listen to it?
You, Dadu, can sing every verse with full feeling. I'm not old yet, Dadu. I'll meditate on you when I sing the last verse. Dadu, come sit in the front.
He's a young boy.
He's a young boy.
Bara kripa kare, Gora bana mati, जर सुख संगे अभ्यास हईला मंद जर सुख संगे अभ्यास हईला मंद सब जौबन जर सुख संगे अभ्यास हईला मंद
Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house in Godram Dweep. So is there anyone here who hasn't been to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house in Godram Dweep? Oh, you have something special ahead of you. This is a wonderful place. His house is non-different than his residence. Is there anyone who hasn't been to his residence in Radhakund? You will have to go. It's closer than Godram Dweep. But at that house is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's eternal residence in Radhakund and in Godram. And he says that his place in Godram Dweep, in Mayapur, Navadweep, is the same as his place at Radhakund. And by his worship of the deities there of Sri Sri Gaur Gadadhar, he sees them as non-different than Radha and Krishna. They appear before his eyes. So this song is praying for the qualifications. He's asking, please give me the qualifications to remove the helplessness and the hopelessness that comes as a result of the fact that I have so many anattas and so many difficulties caused by my own activities in childhood and youth. So now we're going to move from Navadvip and we're going to sing. This is Srila Prabhupada's favorite song. When he was asked on more than one occasion, he said that this Hari Hari Vipale Tanamat Gwanayu is his favorite song. And Jamuna Devi one time said she saw him chanting this bhajan in London. And it was as if his whole face actually transformed with the ecstatic emotions that he was feeling whilst he was singing this particular song. So just as for those who came last night, it was so completely ecstatic being at Srinivasacharya's Samadhi. And then we had such a kirtan afterwards. We went in the dark. It was so mysterious and wonderful. So when we're chanting this song, in order to capture that same intensity of feeling that we caught last night, you can think like that this is Srila Prabhupada's favorite song, so how much deep meaning must be there also for us. So I'll read you first the words also, because it helps since we're not non-Bengali speakers. It is Hari Hari Vipale Janama Gonayam. I have spent my life uselessly. Manusha Janama Paya, having obtained a Manusha Janama, the birth as a human being, Radha Krishna Navajiya, I have not worshipped Radha and Krishna. Janiya Sunya means knowingly. Hearing and knowing. Bisha Kainu, I have drunk poison. Kainu means I have drunk bish, poison. Golokiya Premadhana, Harinama Sankirtan, from the treasure of divine love, Premadhana, the treasure of divine love from Golokiya, Goloka Vrindavan, has descended in the form of the Harinam Sankirtan. Rati na janmilo kene thai. Rati na means, rati means I have a deep taste, attraction. But rati na means I have no attraction. I have not obtained. My attraction to the holy name has never come about. Samsara vishanale diva nishi iyajale. So day and night, in the fire of samsara, worldly materialistic life, I am burning in that fire. Diva nishi hiya jale. Juraite na koin upai. And I have not taken the means to deliver myself from that fire, to be delivered from that burning of material life, samsara. Brajendra nandana jay sachi sutta hoilo se balaram hoilo nitai. So Brajendra nandan has become sachi sutta. Rajendra Sutta has become Sachi Sutta. The son of Nanda has become the son of Sachi. Balaram Koyalo Nitai. Balaram has become Nitai. Dinahina Jata Chilo Hariname Udarido. So Dinahina, the most lowest and fallen, most miserable persons, they have delivered. How? Hariname Udarido. By Harinam, they have delivered them. Tara Shakshi Jagai Madhai. Shakshi Gopal means a witness. So here is the evidence. The evidence of their mercy and their saving of the Dina and Hina. Jata Chilo Harinama Udarilo. The example is given of Jagai and Madhai. So then Narottam Das Thakur expressing the depth of his own humility, which we can learn from, if we can hope to emulate, although it is not possible for us to feel as he is feeling. Paha Prabhu Nanda Sutta, he's appealing, calling out to Prabhu Nanda Sutta, the son of Nanda Maharaj, Vrishabhanu Sutta Jutta, and the Radharani, Vrishabhanu Sutta, the daughter of Vrishabhanu. Korana Koroho E Baro. Please be merciful to me now, this one time. Give your mercy to me. Naratam Dasa Koi Na Kelio Ranga Pai Toma Bine Geya Cheyama. So Naratam Das says, O Lord, please do not push me away from your reddish lotus feet. For who is my beloved except you? Toma bina ke acheyama. Who is mine except you? So we will try to sing this song and think of the mood of Narottam Das Thakur praying for the mercy and the shelter of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and Radha and Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Hare Vipale Ja
would like to ask if we have any realizations. If any of the devotees are brave enough to express some realizations of anything that they have felt or understood by going on parikrama in these four different places that we visited. So I wondered if anyone had anything they would like to express. Yes.
Regarding the last night, Tishu was expressed, I'm just wondering, a lot of the time you think that you should be feeling, you know, saying love for Radha Krishna, that all you feel is wretched and disgusting and wild and just ghastly. And is that, you know, even like you're saying, oh, you missed it, you know.
Missed.
Something, I don't know, love or something, but feel all the time I've missed it, you know, that same emotion.
But look at this song that we just sang. That's just what the persons are singing. That's what Narottam Das Thakur is also feeling. I've wasted my life. I've knowingly drunk poison. My heart burns in the fire of worldliness. I've not taken the means to deliver it. And he's saying, please don't kick me away. Please show some mercy to me now. He's not saying, oh, I'm so satisfied with my love of Radha and Krishna, and I'm feeling so happy, and everything is very nice. He's feeling very wretched and unworthy and unqualified. So we may feel unworthy because we are unworthy. And he may feel unworthiness due to his humility. But as we advance in Krishna consciousness, that unworthiness that we feel now becomes humility. Because our position is that we are unworthy and we can't obtain this treasure, prema dan, by our own efforts. So our unworthiness, we sing Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, Daya Koru More, Toma Bina Kedaya Dayalu, Jagata Samsara. You've come to save Patita Pavan, you've come to save the most fallen. So therefore, I have a right. So we have to take that feeling of unworthiness, and instead of running away and feeling very, very unhappy and sorry for ourselves, we should know where the source of help comes from. And we should go to that place where help is available. And if we go to that place where the help is available, then our unworthiness and horrible feelings become an asset. Because they qualify us for the particular kind of mercy that will give us the topmost thing by being the most awful person. Patita Pavan, he's delivering the most fallen. He's not going around looking for the most qualified people, he's looking for the most unqualified people to help. Lord Nityananda also. So you didn't start the course with us, but we began the course first in Navadvipa. And then we went to Puri, and then we came to Vrindavan. So you joined us in Vrindavan when we were already hearing so many wonderful, exalted things. But we began in Navadvipa, where we learned about Lord Nityananda, and how kind he is, and how he's giving mercy and love of Godhead very freely away. And then what Lord Chaitanya came to taste, and what he came to give. Then we heard more about the elevated nature of Lord Chaitanya's advanced stages of ecstatic emotions shown in Jagannath Puri, which we can't imitate, but we can. We should appreciate hearing about. Without envy, we should hear of the Lord's glories. Sometimes because we feel ourselves so fallen, we hear about somebody. If you're feeling very bad and somebody says, you know so-and-so, they're so great, they did so many wonderful things, you know, they're expert at this, they're really good at that, you know, they're so surrendered, they're so like this, and we become each moment, less and less and less enthusiastic to meet them. But this is caused by a touch of envy in our heart, that we become unhappy hearing of another's glories. But when we hear the glories of Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, we should try to hear them without that quality of envy, because they are our well wishes. And they recognize, as we were saying yesterday at Srinivasacharya's courtyard, they know that the potential for exalted behavior and exalted realizations is within each one of us. Full potential. There's no one who's less. But each one of us is individual. And we have our individual relationship with Sri Sri Gaunatayee and also with Radha and Krishna. And in this life, we want to uncover that individuality. We may look at this one and that one and say, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that, they're so much better than me, and feel sad. But we shouldn't. That's a sign of weak-heartedness. And Śrīla Bhakti Siddhānta Sarasvati Thakura, in his writings, he discourages one from being weak-hearted. He says there's nothing to gain by weak-heartedness. We should push on and become positive, confident, not confident of ourselves. We're seeing so many problems in our own heart. How can we have any confidence in ourselves? But we should have confidence in the Lord's mercy. So therefore, we first approach Lord Nityananda, then Lord Chaitanya. They're very understanding of our condition. And then when we came to Vrindavan, we met Vrinda Devi, Purnamasi. All these are people who are guru to us, to help us. And we should think, even though we're so fallen, we have so many bad things in our heart, that in Kali Yuga it's so rare that anyone takes up spiritual life, that when these exalted personalities see us, they become happy to see us, despite all the things that we know about ourselves, all the selfishness, all the dirty things that are going on in the mind and the heart. They don't see that. They just see, look, somebody is about to be delivered. They've come forward for us to save them. And we can think of the analogy of a mother and father with their children. Their children are like Lord Jesus in the Bible, even. He gives the example of the prodigal son, the son who goes out of the house and says, I'm leaving everything, I don't need to be taken care of by you, I can do everything myself. And he leaves that shelter and goes far from that. And then when he, at some point, decides to come back, and not even with a high motive, that now I'm going to do service for my father, but even he's just thinking, now I'm going to try and get some shelter from my father, is sufficient enough to evoke in the heart of a mundane father, or to speak of the Supreme Lord himself, evoke a feeling of great happiness that my son, who has been lost to me, is now turning around from his habit of avoiding me. There are some bhajans like that. In so many lifetimes I have avoided you. So we have avoided Krishna, but now we've come, we've turned towards him. We were before Bada Vimuk, we had our back to Krishna. Now we're trying to undergo the process of turning round towards him. And sometimes we, by habit, turn back and we do all sorts of things. But we've put ourselves into that process. So there's only a certain amount that we should feel wretched and hopeless, and there's a certain amount that we should feel extremely fortunate. Just like yourself, you have met Srila Prabhupada. You may not have had opportunity to have full consciousness at that time, but who could be more fortunate than somebody who's met Srila Prabhupada? So we can't only feel that we're very fallen. We can feel that, but we can also, each one of us can find out in what way we're fortunate. By being born in the movement, by being coming at a young age, by coming after so many sinful activities that we're so disgusted that we don't want to go back. Whatever it is, we should try to see the good fortune in our circumstances. And then we should move forward from there. We may not be able to attain, we don't attain love of Godhead overnight. First we hear, then we serve, then we develop faith and appreciation for the devotees. We more and more deeply appreciate our spiritual master, what he has given, who he is. And then Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya, step by step, and then Krishna, and Srimati Radharani, then we gradually go. So we're hearing about personalities who are Nitya Siddha devotees, who came with full-blown love of Godhead. So if we hear about them and think, oh, I don't have that sentiment, I don't feel feelings like that, it should make us feel some remorse, but we should realistically know that they're liberated souls, and we're aspiring to become liberated souls. So we have to go on hearing and not become hopeless. And there shouldn't be, as Srila Prabhupada says in his Bhagavad Gita purport, there should be no consideration of hopelessness or defeat. And then we're sure to obtain success. Any more? That was... Thank you. Any points or any questions? Realizations? Yes.
Although we sat in the classroom, as we've been going through different places, it was incredible how I felt like we were really there. And when I was choosing courses to do, I thought, oh, I should do this one because I should start developing attachment to the Taoist and an understanding. And so I came along with that in mind. And I, through your very potent presentation, it's just been so wonderful to present it that I realised that actually it's only through the mercy of the devotees that understand actually
Keep your consciousness in these places. I myself, even sometimes living here, you sort of it sort of permeates you, the presence of the place. But I even myself sometimes forget that actually all of us are meant to live always, everywhere we are with our body, in these three places. Even if we're preaching in the West, even if we're resident in the West, even living here you forget. Your mind wanders to this place and that place, and our consciousness is not actually in Vrindavan, even though our body is. But every day, and having been able to have an opportunity to prepare the classes and reading these great, the lives of these personalities and the philosophy given by these personalities, like Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, becomes more and more clear that actually this is our sadhana practice. And it's maybe far away for us now, but it can be done. It can be done also in this life. It does require, though, that one should come at least perhaps once a year, if one is so fortunate, or once every 2 years, to spend some time in this atmosphere and actually recapture the feeling of being in these places. But once these things come in your heart, I was also talking to you and some of the other devotees about the significance of doing these Brajmandal Prikrama, Navadvip Mandal Prikrama, and then the Brajmandal Prikrama. The Navadvip Mandal Prikrama is easier because it's only 1 week. Is there anyone here who hasn't been on Navadvip Prikrama? Ah. Any of you going this year for the first time? Yes? Good. So you'll see that's only 1 week, and it's quite intense in certain ways. On a certain level it's quite austere, because there's crowds and you get to the place and the men go in first. By the time the ladies get in, the men have already heard everything and they're leaving, and it's confusing. And there's sort of little external elements that make it a little bit irritating to the mind and senses. But if you can go beyond that, go inside that, you get like these things, you're hearing these things, then you go to those places. But doing it without the proper hearing, you only perceive the irritating, you know, outward things. And if you have heard before, if you prepare yourself before, then when you go there you have a whole different experience. I also, on the same point, I noticed like sometimes I've had the good fortune, not very often, and I know that most of us were very busy, and so we have not so much control over our circumstances, but once or twice I have made a special effort before Gaur Purnim, from maybe even 2 weeks, 3 weeks before, to prepare myself, or made a special effort before Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day to be thinking and thinking that Prabhupada's appearance day, Vyasa Puja, is coming, so I should be thinking about him, and that this is this day, just as we have Parikrama, we go to these places, the particular day, Gaur Purnim, Janmashtami, whatever day it is, that particular personality is focused on that day. And I've somehow been able to prepare myself, and I've found that it's a whole different experience than if you wake up in the morning and you've just got a whole lot of work to do, which is also ecstatic. To do so much service is also very, very ecstatic. But sometimes to be able to actually contemplate the inner moods of the person even enhances even further. It's certainly better just simply to be completely so fully engaged that you don't have a moment, an idle moment. But reading and chanting deepens one's realization of one's relationship with these personalities, just as hearing about the Dham deepens one's realization about the significance of the transcendental dimension. So this is correct. By the hearing, one actually can go inside what one wouldn't be able to understand otherwise. Any other points? If not, yes.
I just appreciate the overall mood that was said in the class of seemed like hoping everyone would get an entrance into the Dharma. This was like an exclusive kind of thing to come closer to Krishna. So it seems sometimes with some of these exclusive people are very protective. So I felt just that mood was very nice. Being an outsider coming in. But I was thinking of an analogy of like, say, when you're distributing books to someone, they're walking along and they don't have much interest. At best, they're neutral. But then the book distributor is between the person and Krishna in the book, or Prabhupada in the book too. So I was feeling like here we are in the Dham, and I was coming to the class kind of at best kind of neutral mood, just, you know, I don't know why am I here, I don't know. But then I felt like because the other devotees and the teacher was all trying to go closer to Krishna in the Dham, I felt being drawn a little bit that way. And then, you know, when we were at the Samadhi last night in Srinivas Acharya, I just felt that everyone was sort of, at least in that environment, it seemed to me that to some extent we all were more
drawn
into the Dham. And but the mood, I thought, was very nice. Even the fact of not having a test, it just felt like,
thank you.
Whoever we are, however tall we are, still somehow we're here. So Prabhupada accepted us, and I didn't feel like the mood was so judgmental. It was kind of like, it was a very open kind of mood, which I felt very grateful for.
I felt it was important that if people wanted to give their realizations, they give them. Because it's true, you can check to see what information somebody has collected from what you've told them. And even some people that did write their realizations, they presented things that made it clear to me that they had listened nicely and they had heard different things. And that's very nice to see that response from the students. I'm sorry I didn't get back to the Jagannath Puri right as it got so busy, I didn't reciprocate with you. But I just felt that's part of the experience to come to a home. So to feel at home in your home, you have to feel like you can be yourself there. If you feel you have to put on some kind of a strenuous effort or a sort of a show in order to be accepted, then you don't feel that it's your home. But in all these places, it's very much important because it's an individual personal experience, how much you want to enter into the mood of the place. So you can't quite test that. I thought of a test, and I thought, what would I say to them? You know, what would I test you on? You know, that you retained certain things, but is that really what needs to be tested? Or is it that the heart, just as Sumukhi was saying, when we were going in Nandagram, on the VIG program in Nandagram, Sumukhi and I were talking and were saying about how to feel more at ease and more comfortable and more relationship with the Dham. So that's the fruit, that's the passing of the test. If one feels like that, then that indicates that one has gained something by the hearing process. So when you see that reciprocation, then the teacher feels that they've done what they were asked to do. But it's difficult for some people to write something, you know, or even to speak something. But if anyone is feeling that they've gained something in closer relationship with the personalities, because it's like, this is the hearing process is like that. You hear from one person, like today I was speaking to one devotee. They said, I read so-and-so book, but I liked it. I learned something, but then it was a bit like this, this, and this. Then I went and I read this book, and then I found out that similar things to that book. And then I read this book, and now I'm reading Chaitanya Chaitamrita. And by Chaitanya Chaitamrita, I'm finding that it has the same information as here, as I also heard it here, and I also heard it here. And it's more clear here, and I do prefer, this part was nice here. But so what happens is in four or five places you're hearing things on the same subject. And when you've heard from different sources, it starts to become familiar to you. It's a part of you. So in the same way, the first time I remember hearing about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur or any of these personalities, they seemed very distant and formidable. You know, they were so elevated and sort of out of reach. But then as you heard about them again, and you heard about them again, you went to the place, you came back, you went to the place again, after time and time and time, it starts to become natural. And then once it becomes natural, you feel there's a kind of a flow that goes between you and anything. It's like that in anything. So when we get that relationship going, then we come to Vrindavan or we go to Mayapur, and it's a completely different experience. We do feel, actually, that I'm going to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house and see Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and you actually get to a point where you feel like that. Not that you expect to see him like magic, he's going to appear before your eyes and walk around, not like that. But you have a oneness of feeling with his feelings. And his reading from him has helped you. So you go there to express your appreciation and to ask for some further feeling from him, some further encouragement in the heart. And then you go again, and each time it's a little different, and sometimes you get little response. If you're tired, if there's some unforeseen difficulty happens, then you don't feel the same thing, but still you go, and still you go, and eventually it becomes a very natural part of you by this process of hearing. So we want to have that familiarity with all these places. Even if we don't live here, that if we just in a moment you feel like I just get on a plane and I come back and you walk into Vrindavan and you feel you never left, then you know that your relationship is maturing. And one day, in our consciousness, we won't leave. We'll take that with us in our heart. But that may be, we don't know when that is. But we're going to do our part to develop something beyond neutrality. Just like the example you gave of the book distributor. His compassion for the person and his wanting that person to have some knowledge that will free them from this, what he sees as suffering. They don't see themselves as suffering. They think they're really cool. They think they're really doing something useful with their lives, but he knows their suffering and his realization of that, if he can penetrate that into their hearts, then only the book will be meaningful to them. It still has a dormant, powerful potency just by being Srila Prabhupada's book, but they won't pick it up and penetrate into their heart unless they perceive that from the experience of that person. So we want to have that kind of realization of Krishna consciousness and share that with others. And by doing that, we'll get the full mercy of Srila Prabhupada and the Guru Parampara in our endeavors. They will help us and they will make them successful for us. Thank you for your appreciation. Any more points? Krishna Das.
I wanted to express my appreciation that through these classes, that such a rascal as I get a chance to be able to sing. To sink through this layer that's covering the Dham. Because even though I've been in the Dham for quite some time, still I feel that I just look at it as home. I don't see it as, you know, this is a spiritual world that I'm actually living in. So I'm actually just floating along on this layer above the Dham. So I want to express my appreciation and thanks that through these classes and through these parikrams, I'm given a chance to try to see through this the layer on top of the Dham and actually experience the real Dham.
That's very nice. Can you do me a favor in exchange? Tell Jai Gurupat. That's my son. Krishnadas, you're 16? He's 15. He needs a little help. He's returning tomorrow night. So you can spend a little time with him and try to get him to penetrate through the layer as well. It's a fact, if you grow up here and it's home as well, you tend to reside on the home. We're talking about home and two different levels of home. One home is up there and one home is down below. And there's definitely a fact when one is in the early stages of their manhood that they tend to take it for granted that, yes, yes, I know Vrindavan. Vrindavan means my mother's room, it means nice prasada, it means the restaurant, it means... they got a long list of things, but not exactly that it means hearing and chanting. So it's your credit that you came and working with the VIHE, you're able to serve the devotees like this and then hear. Because if you had no... there's a verse in Bhagavatam that says like that, Shinvintam, a regular hearing, attendance, and by rendering service unto the devotees. And there is another verse that describes that by service, then hearing becomes possible. So you've been given a chance to serve and you've also been given a chance to hear. And Haridas Thakur has given you his full mercy. Krishna Das likes Haridas Thakur very much. He wrote a special paper telling me. So, any more points? Yes.
And by listening to the pastimes and the reading by the Acharyas, I really felt that they're so patient that you start to get these feelings away from inside. And you start to listen with so much more intensity. And by listening with intensity, then you feel lower. You feel that you have to cry out more. And by crying out more, then you feel that you get the mercy.
That's exactly the process. You've actually summed it up. That's how the process works. By hearing more attentively, you gain more. And by gaining more, you realize more your position, and it becomes more urgent and relevant to hear. And then you can actually cry out. So this is the difficulty for most people. Even it's given as the tenth, one of the worst of all offenses is this distraction. So it's almost like a blessing of Krishna if he allows us not to be distracted. Because we go through most of our life distracted by something or another. You know, especially when you're in the Grihastha ashram, you have legal distractions, unlimited legal distractions that you can get yourself involved in. You have your children, you have your household duties, you have money responsibilities and so on. And all these things, they tend to keep you so that you don't hear well. And by not hearing well, you hear shallowly and you think, that's nice, that's nice, that's nice. But the relevance of it doesn't sink in deeply. So if one gets a chance just even once to deeply hear, one notices the distinction between the two and it can change you. But the shallow hearing doesn't really change you. It makes you feel a bit guilty about the fact that you are the way you are, but it doesn't make you become convinced to do something about it. But by the deeper hearing, you actually feel as if I just went like this, I could actually get that. You get a little inkling that, you know, it's actually almost like there. So then that gives you a great hope. But if I just would, and so if I just work out a few problems, I could probably, and then there's a momentum, an impetus to actually correct whatever things one's aware of that one knows one could do something about but doesn't out of laziness, bad habits, wrong mental attitudes, and so on, that stop us and block us from actually proper hearing. Because the whole process is set, so many places Srila Prabhupada points it out, is hearing, hearing, hearing. So want to hear the pastimes of Krishna. So before we stop, because it's almost time, I wanted to read. Did anyone else want to say anything first? If not, I wanted to read again this Nam, Dham, and Kam. Because it's so, now we have heard enough things that when by hearing it again, it may have some deeper meaning. It It is only if we are in a position to render that entity of the Supreme Soul constantly remembered in the heart that well-being will ensue. Hearing is rendered possible by the agency of chanting, kirtan. That's interesting. And if hearing is maintained in the best manner, this is what Ananda was saying, if hearing is maintained in the best manner, real well-being makes its appearance. In the absence of hearing and chanting, the substantive manifestation is not possible. So in other words, without hearing and chanting, we can't, Krishna will not manifest. We'll be always engrossed in materialistic ideas and values. We'll be distracted fully. The service of the holy name, of the holy Dham, the transcendental abode, and of the supreme desire of Godhead is available to all of us. There we see. Is available to all of us. No one is allowed to consider it humility. It's only weakness of heart if we think, oh, it's not possible for me. That's an unfavorable mental condition. It's available to all of us. We can avail ourselves of it or not, according to our desire, but it is available. There's no unavailability of this for anyone, no disqualification. There is no other means of escape from the clutches of worldly inclinations for any creature than the service of the holy name. The service of the name enables humanity to free itself from the hold of all superstitions. Superstitions, what are superstitions? Can anyone give a definition what they think is a superstition? Yes. The mind talking, is there any further to superstitions? Always has a funny kind of an eerie thing to it as well, doesn't it? A little more than just...
Unless you have knowledge of what Krishna says, the mind can tell you a lot of different things.
That's true. The mind talking to one. Does anyone else want to add anything to that? Superstitions, I also sometimes think superstitions has something to do with something you've heard somewhere. It's been passed down, kind of old ideas that really aren't true, but they become sort of, you know, wedged in as if they're true, and you're afraid to break out of them, because if you break out of them, then something bad will happen to you. So you're asked to have to think like this, and if you go this way or that way, if you venture forth with some kind of individual spirit, it's going to be really bad. Ritualistic, yeah, but it has a ritualistic but negative, not just ritualistic in a dry sense, but something also, something you want to get free of. So it rids one of all superstitions and wrong ideas. This is what you were saying, Chaitanya, all the ideas in the mind. And so the service of the name enables humanity to free itself from the hold of all superstitions and wrong ideas, and to be rooted in the service of the desire of Krishna, Krishna Kam. The service of the Dham, now this is what the service of the Dham does. The service of the name frees one from all wrong ideas, all superstitions, all misconceptions are all relieved by the service of the name. The service of the Dham frees one from the jaws of illusion, Mayavad. That means the terrible wrong theory that a jiva or a creature is himself God and master, and that there is no existence except in the human imagination of the holy name, form, attributes, lila, and paraphernalia of Godhead. So if you examine your consciousness sometimes, if you are anywhere like myself, you'll find yourself sometimes thinking like that. You know, sometimes we sort of, something happens that sort of makes us suddenly think, wow, that was really Krishna's mercy, that was really mystical. Some confirmation, you know, we're praying and there's some reciprocation and we're really amazed. Instead of sort of thinking that that's natural and we're a little surprised when there's no response, when there is a response we think that's really amazing, which tends to intimate that we didn't expect a response, that we're offering our prayers but really don't believe that there's going to be any result of it, as a result of it. Deep in our heart we have a fear that actually there really may not be anybody or maybe they're not going to reciprocate with me. And maybe these pastimes, I can't taste them. I've heard them and I do believe them because it's been told to me, but something, there's a little doubt sometimes, especially when the mode of ignorance and passion, those two modes are very strong in influencing us. We find ourselves not quite believing the validity of Krishna's existence. But when we're sitting here in the Dham talking about it, we feel, well, that no, I don't feel like that. I certainly believe. I've seen the Jamuna, I've seen Govardhan, I've seen these places. They're real. The places are there. You can touch them with your hands. You can go to them. You can sit there. You can go to Srinivas Acharya's Samadhi and hear about him there. It has an extra potency to visit the Dham than it has just to sit, if we were in any country of the world, hearing theoretically the story, and we'd all go, that's very nice. But you go there, it has a complete, total experience, as we saw so much last night. So this frees us from the tendency to be Mayavadis. Mayavadi means that my activity is a reality. What I do throughout the day is real. When I eat, sleep, fight with somebody, you know, want to say something, this is real. But Krishna consciousness is something I'm trying to have it enter into my life. But my life is real. But it's the other way around. This is a dream. And that's reality. So we're trying to understand that these activities that we consider, this is me, I am a woman, I am a man. Srila Prabhupada said, this is impurity. Impurity means identifying with the body. So when you come to the Dham, the service there offered of these places helps to bring the reality of Krishna's pastimes to us. The service of Krishna's desire saves one from the hands of a great foe of hankering for one's own sensuous gratification. One is thereby freed from serving the earthly passions and may be installed in the service of the desire of the transcendental despot in the singing of the saving hymn of transcendental love, Kama Gayatri. As the consequence of putting on this gross physical body, base desires for gratification of the physical senses have come. Because we have this gross body, we have desires to satisfy its senses. As a result of the coil of the subtle material or mental body, as a result of having a subtle body, what comes? Indifference to the service of Godhead has grown, and mental speculations are ever driving us in the opposite direction. But this wrong direction is turned towards right if the inclination and taste for the service of Krishna's desire dawns forth. The service of Krishna's desire is gained. This is very important. The service of Krishna's desire is gained if and when we take to the service of Sri Dham, of the Dham. And what is the service of the Dham? Hearing and chanting. These are the main services of the Dham. We have to maintain the holy places. We have to maintain the temple. We have our daily affairs like that. But all these things will be unsuccessful without concentrated hearing. So then he says, the Sanskrit word Dham has many lexiconical, that means dictionary, meanings. In the sense in which it is understood by the wise, it means that place where there is no scope for any desire for injury, for envy, or for mortality. It means everybody is immortal. It is eternal. It is not a temporary place. And there is no desire for harming others. The service of that Dham will lead us, as a matter of course, to the service of the holy name and the holy desire of Krishna. Relation with the Dham being established, the means of the service of the holy name, will soon bring one to the goal of the service of Krishna's desire. And this is the only object of life, to please Krishna, to satisfy his desire. Relation with the worldly abode and hankering after ordinary worldly life soon ceases for one who realizes his relationship with Sri Dham. So this is what we want. It naturally ceases. Our worldly attachments go away. That doesn't mean we give up our family. We give everything up. But the attachment is what is causing us pain. The attachment is where the ignorance lies. The attachment is saying, this is mine, this is mine, this is mine, and I can use it however I want. I'm the center. These are my pastimes. this attachment goes away, and we start thinking of our family, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, manasa, deho, geho, jo, kichu, mo. Everything, whatever I have, it's yours. I'll use it in your service. Then you can have so much, but you won't have any danger. So then he goes on to speak further, and at the end he says that the service of the holy name, who is the life and soul of this transcendental learning, is not possible unless and until one takes up his abode here in Sri Dham, unless we feel that this is our home in the deepest sense. And the service of the holy desire of Krishna is not possible without the method of successful service of the name. So the name is not possible to chant deeply without appreciating the pastimes and the Dham. And Krishna's desire we can't satisfy until we can chant his name. So this is the connection between these two things. So we can think about these things when we return to our ordinary event, our daily affairs, and try to somehow or other bring them to the foreground of our memory now and again, and come again quickly to be in the shelter of Vrindavan Dham, and studying whenever you can. And in this way we can slowly but very, very firmly make progress in devotional realization. So I think it's time to stop. We heard Braj Bihari Prabhu heard a rumor last night that we finished our class at 9 o'clock. I said it was 8:30. So he was quite shocked. That and the fact that we had no test. And then when I told him that we didn't sign our attendance sheet after the first 2 weeks, he was flabbergasted. I excused myself by being a lady. What could he say? All right, so we'll stop here. I have one last little present for the devotees who are here. We have some kadamba pods, a little package each, from Kaliyagat, from that almost eternal tree that's been there since Satya Yuga. So you can take these with you and then you can remember that wonderful place and our pastimes that we heard there. So everyone can come and take one of these before going for the evening aarti.